Sunday Night Theatre. ...1956 was the year British television exploded. Came right into everybody's living room. The year of What's My Line, This Is Your Life, Animal, Vegetable and Mineral, Ask Pickles. The year of my own adventure with Fred Mitten and our own TV show, Take My Advice, which you have most certainly forgotten all about by now.
Dimmesdale Landon as Rick, Joanna Wake as Moana, Jill Borken as Lois, and Leslie Sands as Fred Mitten in The One-Eyed Monster, adapted from his novel by Alan Parr.
Mitten came into my life one Saturday morning in the summer of 1956. I was alone in the office. I had a large batch of mail to get rid of. People, then and now, will send impossible ideas to TV producers. Ordinary, sensible people, bank managers and bookmakers and gamekeepers. And they must all be replied to nicely. Well, it's a rule of the game. I was getting rid of some of this stuff in dictation to Moana. I said I was alone, but I mean Moana was there, too, because, well, she was almost everywhere with me. She was my personal assistant.
Another indecent letter, Rick.
What?
I can tell by the expression on your face.
Oh, man, it's nothing. It's just some poor slob.
Can I see?
No, you can't.
Oh, don't tear it up. I am 22, Rick.
I know. That's why I tore it up. You're too young to read such stuff, Robert.
I wish you wouldn't call me young. I hate it. It's like saying I have a disease. For Pete's sake, stop patting me. I'm not a dog. If you want to kiss me, kiss me. But don't maul me about in that horrible way.
All right. Since you ask me.
Oh. Rick.
No.
You know how I feel about you.
Now, look, Marilla, this. I mean, look, we can't.
We can't.
It's all my fault. I call you young, and I forget you are young.
Kiss me again.
No, I mean... Oh, what a bloody mess. It's all my fault. I take absolute responsibility. Leading you on, acting the great man. It's all my fault.
No, it isn't. It just happened, that's all.
I'll have to find me another secretary, of course.
Yes, I know.
At that moment, Mitten opened the door. He looked sharply from one to the other of us. A little, firm, fat man in a spotless white shirt with an open collar, grey flannel trousers with a knife-edged crease. No hat, 60, all about that. A lot of very beautiful white hair, thick at the nape, and a moon-like pink face.
Yes? What is it you want?
Mind if I sit down, Mr. Wilton?
Well, who are you? I mean, do I know you?
He's a bit upset about some of this lad, isn't he?
Well, I mean...
Then he's in the wrong game.
Now, look, I don't know who you are, but I'm Richard Wilton, and if you want me, I wish you'd tell me why.
I don't want you, Mr. Wilton. You want me. And I just walked in the main gate. Nobody stopped me.
I see. Well, I think I see. I don't know your name, but I think I know what you want. You want me to put you on television, correct?
Correct. He's clever.
You've never been in a television studio, and you are not a member of any artist federation, and you've never earned your living in the theatre or the arts or allied professions, but you think that you would be a hit on TV. Or possibly you have an idea for a programme. The curse or both?
Both. You see,
In either case, your best plan is to go home and write a letter to me telling me all about it. It will... as soon as I've dealt with this lot. At a rough guess, about next Christmas.
I'm Fred Mitten.
Mitten?
Fred Mitten... from Eccleton.
Eccleton? Oh, near Bradford. In Yorkshire.
Now you've got it.
No, I haven't got it, and please don't call me sir. I don't like it.
Here. Some newspaper clippings I brought for you to read from the Eccleton Advertiser.
Oh, no, this is too much. Really?
I'll read them, Rick.
I can hardly wait.
Thank you, Mr. Mitten. Mitten of the Markets. This is the 25th anniversary of Mr. Fred Miffin's work as a seller of crockery round the fairs and markets of the north of England.
Oh, wonderful. You sell crockery. Oh, yes, I can quite see how an appearance on television could help you in a business way. But I only put on panel games, and my last series is finished. I'm sorry.
Rick, let Mr. Miffin speak at least.
All right, speak.
Mr. Wilton, what do people need most in life?
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Miss?
Happiness?
A woman's answer, if you don't mind me saying so. Happiness is what people say they want. But what they need, that's another thing.
Is it?
Look in the papers, and what do you see? Astrologers, Lonely Hearts Bureau, psychologists, they're in every paper, every magazine. They're giving people what they need most in life.
And that is?
Advice.
Advice? About what?
Anything and everything. How to live. How to deal with a husband who drinks, whether to run away with a coal man. How to find a boyfriend, but mostly whether to run away with a coal man.
And who would answer all these questions? You?
Who else?
And what special qualifications have you got for the job? Hmm?
The young lass hasn't read it all.
What? Oh, Fred Miffin, besides being a dealer in crockery, is known the length and breadth of the West Riding of Yorkshire for the fact that he has never sold a pot without giving the buyer a piece of advice. People in all walks of life have been helped by Mr. Fred Miffin's advice.
And who wrote that?
Tom Robinson of the Eccleton Weekly wrote it. Of course, I told him what to pull.
Yeah, I gathered that much.
Well?
Well, what?
What about it?
Mr. Miffin, television programmes aren't put on just because I say so. But if I recommend a programme, it has a chance. It's looked at. It's what it's thought about. Well, then it's usually turned down.
Then you're not top man?
As you say, I'm not top man.
Then who is?
The head of my department is Godbroke Dalrymple. He used to be in the Chindits.
In that case, I'll stick to thee.
Oh, yes, that is what I was afraid of.
Now, look, I've been going round markets on this lark for years. I'm not a beginner. I've been giving people advice all my life. I'm good at it.
Why do you want to get on television?
Because I can help people, miss. I know I can. You see, I've lived among ordinary people all my life. I know how they think. I know the sort of advice they'll take. I just look at their faces, and I know.
But, I mean, how did you get to be good at all this? How did you start?
Oh, well, I was not but a lad, 22 or 3, and a farmer comes to me. It was at Eccleton Fair, and he'd taken middling a beer. He comes up to me and he says, "That a likely lad, and I don't know this advice." I says, "Right." And he says, "My wife's a whore. She keeps going off with other men, but she always comes back, and I keep on taking her back. What lad are we next time?" And that's what he said, straight out with it. He was a farmer, do you see?
Well, what did you say?
Oh, I said, did he go off with women himself? And he said he did. So I told him to mend his own ways and think about it again. And when he had a clear conscience, he'd know what to do.
And what happened?
He come back to me 6 months later with £5. "Put that in his pocket, lad," he says. "That's a miracle worker."
What did he do?
Well, next time she came back, he threw her at Dag. He had a clear conscience, just to see.
Well, what did the wife do?
She never went off again.
From the farmer?
Well, happened once or twice. But then he's a man, isn't he?
I love that story.
It's not a story. It's true.
Now, your chances of telling a story like that on television are non-existent. That's life. Now, television is not interested in life. It's interested in art, with a small A, and sentimentality, with a big S. And above all, it's interested in offending nobody. Mr. Miffin, you would offend 1 million television viewers with a story like that.
They love it on Eccleton Moor.
But what they take in a fairground, they won't take in a living room.
Why not?
Look, we have a large research organisation. They say you can't put doubtful shows on. Not even the sort of things that would pass unnoticed in a variety theatre. I mean, television is a family thing.
You only hear from the narrow-minded lot. The satisfied ones say no.
I'm sorry, but there it is. Television doesn't need a Mr. Lonely Heart.
People come miles, especially to buy a pot off me. Even when they don't need one. Just because they want some advice. They're the people who watch television. People I talk to in the marketplace. I'm telling you, everybody has a problem. Everybody. It's just a matter of getting them to talk
about it.
Now,
look, Mr. Biffin, I think I just about...
everybody has a problem.
Ah.
If somebody came to you and asked your advice about an affair of the heart, would you give it?
I give nothing else to women. Fire away, love.
Well, I know a girl. She's in love with a...
Married man, is he?
Yes, he's married.
Go on.
No, 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 this is nonsense. Moana.
Moana? Is that how you say it?
Yes.
Well. Oh, Mr. Wilton, this will give you a chance to tell how good I am.
I don't know the people involved.
Well, Miss Watson here will tell you when I'm gone. Go on, love.
He's a lot older than she is. But she doesn't mind that. In fact, she isn't very interested in younger men, this girl.
Moana, really?
They work together, and it makes it rather difficult to tell him about it, you see. I mean, if he just doesn't like her that way at all, he'd be terribly embarrassed, and so would she.
Does this man love his wife?
I don't know.
But he lives with her?
When she's there, which isn't often.
Why is that?
She's an actress.
Oh. Well, that could make a difference if she's away a lot.
Well, this girl, she's quite sure she loves him, but she doesn't want to do anything, well...
Wrong?
Anything to make him unhappy.
He's done nothing to make her think he likes her.
Nothing except...
Now go on, love.
He kissed her.
Where?
On the lips. I suppose.
No. Where? In his flat, the park? Where?
Oh, it was in the office. In the place where they both work.
Did she let him kiss her?
She wanted him to.
Well, now. If this girl lived in Eccleton, I'd tell her to forget him. But she doesn't live in Eccleton. She lives in London. Doesn't she, miss?
Yes. Quite near me, as a matter of fact.
Now, London's different to Eccleton. Morals are all a matter of where you live. You could have 10 wives in Africa, Mr. Wilton. Don't try it in Eccleton.
Well, I give you my word. I won't.
Miss, if I were this friend of yours, I'd find a way of letting this man know about it without seeming to, like. I'd tell him the story, just as you've told it to me, as if it was about somebody else. Then he knows, and the next move's up to him.
Thanks.
Now, do you know that you have just given out the most immoral piece of personal advice I've heard in a very long time? Moana, don't tell that to your friend.
Morals are for Eccleton. Well, goodbye, Mr. Wilton. I expect we'll be meeting again.
Oh, will we?
And a word of advice to you, sir, if I may.
Well?
You're always giving, aren't you? Why don't you try taking for a change?
Wasn't he marvellous?
Now, did you have to do that?
Well, it seemed as good a way as any, Rick.
Now, that idiot rumbled it, of course. I mean, you know that.
Do you think he did? Really, Rick? I'm sure he did.
But whatever made you ask him?
I don't know, really. But it was the right answer, wasn't it? Well, Rick, what do you say?
I say a drink, and then lunch.
And then?
Let's worry about that when we've had the drink.
Rick.
Hmm?
Where shall we go?
When?
This weekend.
But, Moana, do you really know what you're doing?
Have another brandy. I think you're going to need it. Shall we go to your place?
No.
Are you afraid?
Well, of course I'm afraid. But if you really want to know, I'm afraid of the whole business.
Why?
Ah, because once you step out of line in one way, it's astonishing how other things start to pile up. Look, what we're doing is the way murders start, and the reason people get nervous breakdowns and happy lives are, as they say, ruined.
That just isn't true. Plenty of lives get ruined in square brick houses with everything respectable and everybody being terribly moral to everybody.
Look, my dear, it's beginning to occur to me that you've had all this worked out for some time.
I have. Darling, you need a haircut, did you know?
Look, you may think you've got it all worked out, but you haven't. You can't have, because you just don't know the facts.
If you mean Lois, I don't care.
No?
You haven't seen her for weeks, and when you do, she doesn't even try to be nice. I don't know why you haven't packed it all ages ago.
And you say you don't care. You sound as if you care very much.
I don't care about Lois. I care about you.
Look, Lois is smart. If she ever sees us together, she'll know.
She's still got her claws in pretty deep, hasn't she?
Now, let's have a rule. It's usual in all the best affairs. The wife does not exist.
I don't like that rule. Anyway, I don't know what you have in common with Lois.
Lois is a good actress. She has considerable charm and great talent.
Do you still love her?
Well, we've been married for 4 years. Long enough to discover one another's faults, but not long enough to discover one another's virtues.
Do you love her just a little bit?
I knew when I married Lois that her career was the only real thing in the world to her. I'd never expected it to be an ordinary marriage.
You didn't expect your mother to be an ordinary mother, but it hurt just the same when she wasn't, didn't it?
But my mother was an actress, like Lois. She hadn't time to look after children. I understood that.
I'm not saying you didn't understand. I'm saying you were hurt. Blast your mother. She's the reason for Lois.
Moana, think about it.
You never go anywhere, Rick. You never talk anything but shop. You're a sort of monk living in a cell at the studios.
Oh, I sound nice to know.
You are. But you're allowing the one-eyed monster to eat you up.
I happen to rather like the old monster.
Between that and Lois, you'll be a sad old man soon.
It took the monster years to digest us. Finally, it spewed me out and put me behind a desk. I hated desk people in those days. Even Goddy.
Hello, Rick.
Hello. Hello, Goddy. Want a drink?
No, thanks.
Well, where have you two been? Not your usual place, is it, Rick?
I had an idea for a show. We've been... Oh, we thought we'd come in here and talk about it.
Huh?
Well, a man came in to see me. Call him Miffin.
Miffin? I seem to know that name from somewhere.
This man gives away advice with crockery, you see, Goddy.
Gives away advice with crockery?
Yes, he comes from Eccleton. It's in Yorkshire.
And you want to put this man in a show giving crockery away?
Well, Moana and I have, we've just seen him, and we were very impressed by him. Boy, especially Moana.
Moana
thinks he has something. In fact, she asked him for some advice.
What advice was that?
My sex life.
What do you expect him to do?
Well, you're looking for a new panel girl. Call it Take My Advice.
What? You mean have lovelorn females writing her name, that sort of thing?
That sort of thing, exactly.
Rick, stop it, you fool.
Well, the powers that be would never wear it.
Oh, now, Goddy, people are getting tired of the old panel games. Just set pieces for gimmicks like crazy earrings and low-cut dresses. I mean, they're personality vehicles, right?
You know I hate the damn things, old boy, but what can I do? I mean, the viewers love them.
I think they'd love them a lot more if they bore some relation to life.
But you mean bring real people here to ask real questions of this crockery merchant?
Exactly.
You idiot.
Moana, you say you believe in this fellow Miffin's advice. Huh? Why?
I don't feel he has any axe to grind. I don't feel he wants to show off.
Well, did you take his advice?
Yes. It was very good advice.
Yeah. Well, there's room for something different. I mean, look at What's My Line. I mean, look at Gilbert Harding. Could this fellow Miffin be another Gilbert Harding?
No.
Still, you know, people, you just might have an idea there. Let me make a quick phone call. Miffin.
Goddess! Oh, what have I done now?
Rick, why did you tell him about Miffin?
Oh, I don't know. I had to think of something fast, I suppose. And the idea was to talk shop, which he hates, and get rid of him. Doesn't seem to have worked, does it?
Did you feel a bit guilty, being with me?
Yes, a bit.
And you hadn't before, when we met people like this?
No.
Are you sure you haven't been giving it some thought about Miffin?
Well, not consciously. I mean, from my point of view, it's too risky. It's too risky altogether. I mean, I need a few safe shows.
Could he do a program?
Miffin?
Hmm.
No, of course he couldn't.
It'd be funny if you got yourself into something with Goddy.
Well, I got myself into one thing today. It promises to be just as much as I can handle.
Love you.
Now, no more chat about that idiot Miffin. You want to start taking us seriously.
Ah! Well, I think you are going to need the whiskey, old boy. I have big news for you, the chief.
Sold it? I mean, so what?
The idea. Simple more. He knows about this chap, Miffin.
What?
I've heard him talk about the fellow. The reason I rang him. I say we may have another Gilbert Harding here, or another Wilfred Pickles, another Eamon Andrews.
Oh, now, look, God, this Miffin has never been in front of a television camera in his life. I mean, he'll probably be a complete flop.
I know that, Rick, but the chief knows the man. He's seen him.
Oh, open your big mouth.
Well, we have the order to advance. And I suggest surprise. Get to this fellow Miffin right away.
But, God, you haven't seen him. I mean, I have. I tell you, he's an eccentric.
Oh.
I mean, he might do anything. I mean, I just put the whole thing up as a joke.
Rick, you are thinking of failure.
No.
Now, think of success instead. What we want, what the chief has been looking for this long time, is somebody with the common touch. If this Miffin has it, he's worth his weight in gold. If he hasn't, well, it's another good idea in the ash can, that's all.
All right. What now?
Well, you go up there to this place, Eggleton, and talk to him. If you're still impressed, bring him back. If not, don't.
Well, when do I go?
Tomorrow.
No. I'll drive up now.
Do I go?
Of course you go, my dear. Rick's going to need all the help he can get.
I'm You couldn't have come up on a better day, Mr. Wilton. Good little fare is Eccleton.
I suppose you were surprised to get my telegram.
Rich, I got the impression you weren't keen.
Well, frankly, I'm still not keen.
And why did you come?
I was sent because my superior thinks there might be something in it.
Thanks for putting it on a plane.
I don't know why I mentioned it in the first place. It just slipped out and somebody liked the idea, and I have to say yes or no.
And now all you want is an excuse to say no.
Yeah, that's about the size of it.
Then all I have to do is to change your mind.
Very frustrating.
What?
Try it. It's good.
Oh, no, thanks.
Oh, enjoy yourself.
The faces of the people as they crowded round Niffin were cheerful but guarded. They watched him stand on a large box, a ludicrous figure, wearing only a clean white shirt and grey flannels, white hair flying in the wind.
There's your public, Mr. Wilton. And damn near every one of them has their telly. Now you watch me make them laugh. Hey, I've got a job for you, you and the lass. You can hand the clocks out when I sell them. And take the money as well, you can keep the interest.
Not on your life.
Look, Rick, why not?
Oh, all right.
What's this? A chamber.
What?
A gazunder, a poor chanty. All depends where you come from. Best China, this is.
Now then, not 10 bob, not 9 and 6, not 3 half-crowns. A dollar to the first buyer and all the free advice they want. Now show the crowd what they're buying, Mr. Wilton.
Oh,
extra large size. Here, I'll wrap it up in brown paper if anybody's shy. And if you meet anybody you know, you tell them you've just bought a new hat. Now, then, who's buying? You get yours from my young friends here, Mr. Wilton, and the young lass. We're not here today and gone tomorrow. We're here today and gone tonight, if we can get the money. Come on, lad, you're doing well. Hey, no, don't take any foreigners. Bradley. Come on, lad, I've got half a dozen here yet. Hey, there's one over there, one, two. The money over there, if you don't mind, Mr. Wilton.
Oh, yes.
That's it. In the bank, isn't it? That's it. Good lad. You sold them all, lad. Have you sold them all?
Well, I'm going to.
Embarrass you, did I? Yes. I'm sorry.
Yes, you did, and no, you're not.
Well, I thought it'd wetten you up a bit. You guys for notebook that last this morning. Nice design.
Terrible.
Hey, I had them made specially. Artist did me face from a photo. Costs a bit more, but it's good publicity. They never get a chance to forget you, do they? Practically everybody in the north of England has a picture of me in the house. That's a solemn thought, lad.
What I want to know is, when does the advice start?
Now. We can't sell any more.
You mean that these people are going to ask you for personal advice? I mean, out here in the open like this.
Why not?
Or won't they be embarrassed?
Why should they be?
Well, other people might be concerned. I mean, they might even be present.
Well, that's half the thing, you see. It makes it special being able to shout it out in front of all these people. It really gets it off your chest. Of course, a lot of it's just fun. You've got to be able to tell the serious ones from the jokers.
Can you do that?
Never made a mistake yet, lad. Darling, friends. Friends. Now, listen, friends. You all know me, and you know what I do. I sell crockery.
Oh, crockery.
If I say I do hotels, the police will run me in. I don't foretell the future. I don't give advice that's in any way connected with glass bowls or cards or teacups or out of that kind, and I do not do it for profit. Now, I just give you an opinion, that's all, on something that's bothering you. Free of charge and all in friendship. Now, you know me, I'll do oat for note. Friends, there's a lot of unhappiness caused through keeping things to yourselves. Now, there are people in this crowd today who are unhappy because they don't like to ask their friends for advice. And why? Because they'd be ashamed. But they can ask me. Now then, first question. Come on now. There we are. Lady over there. Now, let her through. Come on, love, don't be backward and coming forward. Come on, there you are.
Lost my man in number 6 Eccleton last year.
Now, this lady lost her husband in the pit disaster last year. Yes, go on, love.
I want to know, should I get wed again?
Has anybody asked you?
Joe, standing here, he has.
Do you want to marry Joe?
Aye, I do. But we're both of us not so young anymore, and we've both grown up families, and they all say we're daft old fools.
How's your job?
He works topside at Eccleton 4.
Have you anywhere to live? You'd have to live with one of the children, is that it? Couldn't you do that? You've a lot of furniture and all that. You couldn't go into rooms?
No, wouldn't be right.
Are any of your sons present?
Aye, me, excuse me. Me, I'm her eldest.
Are you married?
Well, of course I am. I've got four kids.
What do you think about all this?
What she's told you. They're a couple of old fools. Hey, no,
has she been a good mother to you, love?
Well, she's been all right.
And did she ever do you a special favour, son? Any time?
Well, of course she did, yeah.
You think you owe her one?
Not for this, no.
You think it's nice for your mother to live alone?
She isn't alone. She's got us.
Now, wait. How old are you, son?
26.
If you were 10 years older, you might understand better. But looking at you, I'm not sure you ever will. You sell up, love. Sell your furniture, sell the lot. It all belongs to the past. Go and live in rooms with Joe. Wed him. Joe thinks more about you than this lad of yours and all the rest of them put together. If they're all like him, you're well shut of them.
You're a damned old fool and all and a fraud.
I know. I've been gone for years. Yes. Now, next. The fat gent in front here. Sorry, sir, Portly. Yes, you, sir.
Well, I work with a young lass and I cannot keep my hands off her.
What have I got to do?
They remember their blood pressure. That wants to last a bit longer, don't it?
How did you know I had pressure?
Yeah. Well, I can see this being a roaring success on television, I don't think.
It's a roaring success here. Look at them.
What does he tell them that they don't know already?
Most people can see everybody else's problems clear except their own. Mickey just sees it clearly.
He tells them what they want to hear, like any fortune teller.
He's better than that, Mick.
Now then, last question. Absolutely the last one this session.
I did a wrong 6 years ago. A terrible wrong. It's been on my mind ever since. Should I give myself up?
What did you do?
Oh, I did a great wrong. I can't talk about it.
So come round the back and wait.
No, you'll call the police. It's a trick.
It's no trick. I give you my word. Oh, well, that's it for this time, lad.
I asked your advice last September, and you really brought happiness to us both. We never quarrel now, never. Maybe it's been a bit old, right, but I still think your advice helped us.
Thank you, Lou. Glad to help. And good luck to you both. There. Satisfied, Mr. Wilton?
Well, it's a good act. Very good.
Act? These folk, they're walking, talking testimonials. If you want letters, I have 1,000 at home.
That man, the one who ran away, who was it?
He killed a little girl years ago.
Have the police had it?
No.
Are you sure he did it?
Yes.
How?
He told me. He does tell me sometimes.
And you told him to go to the police?
I told him to kill himself before he does it again.
Never.
Will he do it?
He might, one day.
Well, you wouldn't have any questions like that if we decided to do anything about this idea. They'd all be screened first. I mean, you understand that?
Of course I do, lad. Of course I do.
Well, there wouldn't be much money in it either. Well, not at first, anyhow.
I don't care about money. Well, lad, am I in?
Why do you want this TV thing? What for?
Why? What for? Well, because it'll be a high place to do good in.
Who said that?
Oliver Cromwell.
Who else?
This is the BBC Home Service. Here is the news. Mr. Bulganin and Mr. Khrushchev have had further talks at No. 10 Downing Street this afternoon. They lunched at the Mansion House as guests of the City of London.
That's you, Rick, darling.
The United States Ambassador in Moscow.
What are you doing here? Nice, fellow. Nice boy.
Ours, darling. Isn't he lovely? I adore poodles.
Does that mean you're going to park him on me?
Oh, of course it doesn't, darling.
Well, when did you get in?
Last night. Where have you been?
Out on a job. Up in Heckleton. Yorkshire. What's the dog called?
Sooner. Because
he's sooner doing it in here than doing it outside. Oh, don't send it off. Please, shut up. The neighbours don't like it. Our contract says no animals anywhere. Look, let me turn this thing off.
I've decided to come back to town, Rick.
Oh? And why is that?
I was getting a bit lonely away from you, darling.
So you just up and came home?
Well, I wasn't sleeping with anybody important, so I wasn't getting any good parts.
So you told them to jump?
Well, if I'm not a good enough actress to get jobs without tarting around, then I'll starve.
Well, what now?
Oh, I'll find something, I suppose, darling. Do you like my hair with this blue tint?
Yes, it's all right. Look, Lois, let's leave it all until tomorrow. I'm all in.
you haven't kissed me yet, Rick.
Let's leave that until tomorrow as well.
Oh. You have had something to eat.
I'm not hungry.
Well, I suppose we may as well call it a day. Sunup! He always sleeps with me. He cries all night if he doesn't.
Yes, that's all right. I'll sleep here on the divan.
I could lock him in the kitchen. We mightn't hear him from there.
The people upstairs would hear him. Look, really, Lois, it doesn't matter. I'll be all right here.
Are you sure?
I'm quite sure.
Did you miss me, Rick?
Yes, of course I did.
You never say so.
Well, what would be the point?
If you'd asked me, I wouldn't have gone off to the wreck.
I know you wouldn't. That's why I didn't ask you.
Oh, Rick, you never let me give up anything for you.
Well, go to bed, Lois. It's late. We'll talk in the morning.
It's only 11:30.
For me, that's late. I don't keep theatre hours.
You're very busy on this new show, Rick.
It's early stages.
Is it important?
In television, everything you do is important. If you do it wrong, you can be out.
Could this one go wrong?
They can all go wrong. It mustn't, that's all.
What's it about,
Look, anyway? I'll tell you tomorrow when I know myself.
Oh, well then. Good night, darling. Come along sooner, darling. We've been banished.
Yes? What?
I'm worried about you.
Why?
Haven't any money.
You're homeless.
It's my birthday.
Oh, Lois, I'm sorry. I thought about it last week and then it slipped my mind.
It's all right.
I'm really...
Darling. But look at me. I've been in the theatre all these years and I'm nowhere.
The rep.
Rick, I've played everything from St. Joan to Sadie Thompson and nobody's seen me do it. I'm not going back to the rep. I'm staying here until I land a job in a new show, perhaps.
I see.
Rick?
Hmm?
Are you using a cologne?
It's called aftershave. Lots of people are, now.
Doesn't seem like you, somehow. Very continental. Anyway, you're sure you don't mind my coming back?
Well, did you think I would?
Oh, I wish I wasn't an actress. I wish I was just an ordinary, dull wife. Rick, I've been wondering, darling, sitting alone in this flat all evening watching the box. All this publicity that's attached to TV... few appearances and you're a national figure. I was wondering whether I ought to try for a part or two.
Well, I might talk to one or two people.
I'm always asking you to do things.
Well, if you weren't such a good actress, I wouldn't do it.
Thank you, darling. Oh, I do seem to have been away a long time, don't I?
Well, you have to go where the jobs are, Lois.
You are fed up with me. I don't blame you. I'm horribly selfish. I don't think about anybody but myself. Nobody but you would stand for me.
Oh, nonsense.
It's true, Ricky.
It's too late to start analysing your character tonight. Now go to bed. Tomorrow's another day.
If we tiptoe into the bedroom, sooner mightn't hear it.
No, thanks. I won't risk it.
Rick? Have you got a girl?
Yes.
Do you love her?
Yes.
Do you want to tell me who she is?
No.
I see. Good night, Ricky, darling.
When I look back now, from behind my big desk, to how it all seemed in 1956, I wonder what we were all so steamed up about. It was only one little program, but very daring, really, for the time.
Fred Miffin, Sir Godbroke Dalrymple.
Ah, yes, hello.
How do you do?
The chief wants to meet you later, Mr. Miffin. He says he remembers you at fairs when he was a boy.
Oh, I? Well, I've been going a good long time.
Well, now, this is just an informal talk, eh, to, as they say, kick a few ideas around, hmm? First of all, I take it Rick has explained that we would like to do a one-off show, hmm? Well, that is a tryout.
Hmm.
Ah, yeah. Yes. Well, that means you are entirely in Rick's hands. Makeup, presentation, all questions of policy and production are in his hands, too. Now, are you happy about that?
Aye, it'll do me.
Well, after the trial show is over, we will tell you our decision, whether to go on with a series or not. Rick will have no say in the decision. He will simply produce the show as best he can.
Right.
Of course, all the questions will have to be fake ones.
No.
Oh, no?
Sir Godbrook, it's no use faking it. This isn't an ordinary show. It isn't a stunt. If the questioners aren't genuine, I'll never be able to concentrate. I'd know they were faking. It'd be no good.
Where are we going to get these? people from Rick.
I'll find them. But there's the business of the questions. Oh, we'd have to vet them.
I don't care what you do with them, so long as they're genuine. They have to be genuine.
Well, as I see it, just thinking out loud, you understand, Mr. Mervyn, we have a new human interest program, right?
Mm.
We call it Take My Advice, right? Well, we let it run for 30 minutes. 5 minutes for each question, Rick, right?
Well, on average, a bit less.
Ah, so 10 questioners on average. I don't know how we find them. That's Rick's department. But what concerns me are the questions. You know how difficult it is, Mr. Miffin? We have a responsibility to our huge family audience.
Yeah, well, in that case, the chamber pots are out.
Did you?
Chamber pots? I sell them, you see. I sell a lot.
Yeah, you have to buy one before you can ask Miffin a question.
Oh, no, no. No, no, it's impossible.
Well, everybody who's ever seen Miffin, and a lot have, connects him with chamber pots.
Well, the chief said something about it himself. He didn't mention those things.
Well, thinking aloud, it would be a nice idea to give every challenger one, I mean, as a memento.
Are you mad, Rick? We'd be thrown off program forever if we did a thing like that.
Excuse me. I'll be back in a minute.
Rick, that fellow, he's got something about him. Don't know what. Seems to be looking inside you. I've seen fortune tellers out east with the same look. Huh? This thing could get out of control, Rick. It's up to you not to let it.
Well, don't worry. I'll keep it light and frothy.
You'd better, dear boy. You fixed him up with Diggs, yes?
Yes, I booked him in a small hotel near Euston.
Now, about the panel. I suggest one woman with him. Somebody bright but glamorous.
Yes, well, we'll find somebody. There's a dozen little glamour girls. That'll do.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think we want anybody too cheap. I mean, a woman of charm might be better. Somebody who might even give some good advice now and again.
Well, she'd have to look good as well, got it?
Ah, then I'm sure you'll like my choice.
Who?
Lois.
Lois? Oh, no, really? Got
it. Ah, my dear fellow, just what I expected you to say. I know what some people will think. Favoritism, producer's wife on panel game, all that sort of stuff, eh? But don't you see, besides Lois being a good choice, she's good publicity. We want this show talked about.
Well, then I can't argue, can I?
This thing is beginning to look important to you, Rick.
Well, it's very nice if you've got it, and I'm sure Lois will be fine once she gets the hang of it.
A few weeks of this, and she'll land one of those big parts she's been deserving for years.
Amen to that.
Yeah, damn attractive woman, Lois.
Well, then, here's one of my pots, Sir Godbrook.
This face, is it yours?
Well, some think it's a good likeness.
Well, I'm damned. There's so many of them.
There aren't many couples get wedded West Riding without somebody giving them one, if they don't buy one themselves.
Ah, it's a pity. You and I, we wouldn't mind. But the powers that be would never stand it. Pity, but out.
Well, do we just drop the idea?
Oh, let's all think about it for a minute. Loving cups, right?
What?
Why not give loving cups instead of these, things? What do you say, Rick?
Well, what does Miffin say?
Note against loving cups.
Then loving cups it is, eh?
Television was very Puritan in those days. Still is, I suppose. Any time before the nation's average bedtime, which remains unchanged at 10:30. I still have one of Miffin's chamber pots on the windowsill of my office. It makes a very good flower pot. Everybody admires it. Something that nobody would have done in 1956. Except, possibly, Lois.
Oh, Rick, darling, I'm so glad. I mean, not just for me, for you as well.
Thank you, Lois. Well, here it is. We all start work on Monday week. Do a few practice runs before the real thing.
It's going to be a little awkward for you, darling, isn't it?
No, not really. It'll be all right.
It's years since we worked together.
Yeah. Do you mind if I switch this thing off?
I only have it on for company, darling. Rick, your girlfriend, she's not an actress or anything, is she?
No, she isn't, Liz.
Oh, Tina, she's very sensitive to atmosphere.
Yes, I can see that.
Now, Tina, darling, don't be so aggressive.
Look, can I get you a drink or anything?
I have one, darling.
Oh, yes, you do.
So, she's not an actress. Domestic type, I suppose.
Well, I don't know, really.
Well, she wants kids and houses and all that.
I don't know, I suppose so.
Poor Rick.
Now, Lois, you know I didn't want this to happen.
Of course you did, or you wouldn't have let it. I know you, Rick,
the point of this to you isn't, are you more attractive than the other girl?
Isn't it? I rather thought it was.
It isn't anything like that, Lois.
You mean, platonic.
No, it isn't platonic, Mary.
Rick, darling, it's just a stupid infatuation. That's all it can be. This girl, is she very lovely?
No, well, yes. About average, I suppose.
How old is she?
22.
Oh, Rick! I can't compete with a kid of 22.
The next thing you'll be saying is, I had your youth, and now that you're old, I don't want you.
Well, do you?
Lois, when we were married, I loved you. Now, you know that. But it was a thing we shouldn't have done, either.
Not get married?
Well, not to each other.
This seems a new idea. I don't remember your mentioning it before.
It isn't a new idea. I've had it for some time. I want to marry this girl, Lois.
What makes you so sure I'll divorce you?
Because I'm asking you to.
Well, yes, I know really want
to. Yes, we have. Now, look, I'll send you details. You won't mind if...
Just as you wish, darling. I do wrong?
Oh, look, Lois, I feel, and I'm not ashamed to say it, I'm nothing, but you never gave me those things.
Can you see?
Yes, if it's a home.
Well, you never told me, because I could have done
yes,
that.
Yes, but you'd have been acting, wouldn't you?
Just to find out, did you, darling?
Well, I'm sorry.
You may think this girl's right for you now, but you'll never have what we had together.
Well, perhaps not.
22. It could be. You just need a daughter.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you're a funny age, Rick.
Oh.
You've changed a lot in the last year. Could it be because you're in this TV thing? Do you think I've lost my looks?
You're very lovely. You always were.
Perhaps if I hadn't stayed away from you so much, this would never have happened.
Probably not.
Look, it's no business of mine, really, but I think probably you're making a damn fool of yourself with this girl, Rick. On second thoughts, you'd better have time to think it over, for your own sake.
I don't want time. I want you to divorce me.
Ask me again in a month.
No. Look, you said...
She's 22, Rick. It could be a mistake. It could be lost. Youth and all that.
But what if it is lost youth and all that? I want...
Oh, don't!
Look, Lois, we've always...
Please!
Look, Lois, we've always said that if either of us wanted to break it up...
No, Rick. No, it wouldn't be fair on you. A month, sir.
Yes, all right. Well, I might as well go.
Aren't you staying here tonight?
Of course I'm not staying here tonight.
Oh, you're going to
her? I'm staying at my club.
Oh. It would be bad for the show if we had a divorce right away. Once the show's going, it won't matter so much. Rick?
Yes?
You do want me on this show,
oh,
don't
now
you?
Now, look here, Lois. Don't be such a
well,
damn
it's your
fool.
Show. If you don't want me on it, all you need to do is say so. I'll understand.
The body gave you the job. I can't go back on it.
But I can go back
well,
on it.
Well, that's very nice of you, Lois, but I expect you in the studio at 10 o'clock Monday morning.
You never let me give you anything, do you, Rick?
Goodbye, Lois.
15 minutes, studio.
I was beginning to sweat, as I always do, just before a show. Because, well, this was no ordinary show. That much I knew. There had been a lot of press publicity. As Goddy had so truly said, it was important to me. Very important.
10 minutes, studio.
Moana, has anybody seen Mifflin?
He's in his dressing room. Lois is in her dressing room. The show's all right, Rick. There's nothing more you can do.
Now, did I check with Fosham about Mifflin's jacket and bow tie?
Yes.
And Lois's dress, not quite so much cleavage?
Yes, I told her myself.
Now, is there anything else?
No, all you have to do now is pray.
Yes. If any of this goes wrong, I've had it. I'll be thrown to the wolves so fast.
Rick, stop it.
But I'm going down now to talk to the artist.
Rick! Did you tell her?
What?
Did you tell Lois about us?
Well, I talked to her, yes. But not now, for God's sake.
What did she say? Did you tell her it was me?
No, I just told her that I wanted a divorce.
Darling, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
And what did she say?
She said I'd have to wait. Now, excuse me, lovey. I must go and have a last word with Mifflin.
I don't know about you, Mr. Mifflin, but I'm really nervous. I really have got butterflies.
You'll be all right, love.
I'm used to having words, you see.
Lois, just say what you really think. You can't go wrong.
Oh, dear, I'm sure I'll make a complete fool of myself.
Not you. If in doubt, just smile.
Here am I, the so-called professional, all nerves, and you,
love,
you're...
Love, I've been doing this all my life.
Hello, people. How are you feeling?
Terrible.
Yes, well, you always do, darling.
Yes, I know, but really terrible.
I've told her she'll be fine.
Lois, your job is to just, well, be lovely and thoughtful. Now, we've been through all this.
Yes, I know, but it's live, darling. It's going out as I do it if I botch this
up. Well, you won't. You'll be great.
You really think so, Ricky?
Absolutely sure of it.
Very well, all right. I'll do my best. I'll go and put a last dab of powder on my nose. The bloody thing's shining again.
Well, good luck, darling.
Thank you, darling.
She loves you, you know. In her way.
Yes, that's just it. In her way. Well, are you all right?
Aye, why shouldn't I be?
I mean, you have nothing at all to ask me?
Why? Should I have?
Well, you're the star. Now, remember that. Lois is just the woman's angle.
You still think it's just froth. Lightweight, don't you, Rick?
Mithin, it's what you make it. Now, come on, let's get you into the studio. Time's going on.
Right.
I'll be in the producer's gallery, seeing it gets on the screen. But I have done all I can. All I can do now is to wish you good luck.
We'll be all right, Rick. Don't worry about those lads.
I want to make a little
floor back. Hello there, Dominic, lad.
Hello, Mr.
Everything ready, is it? All the loving cups ready, are they?
Yes, everything's set. Now, Mithin, if you just sit in that chair behind the table.
Right.
And next to me.
Oh,
fine, thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, what do they call your job, son?
I'm a floor manager, Miss.
Oh, I'll get used to it, all yet.
Yes, sure.
Sweet Don Moana, aren't you, Dominic?
How did you know that? Now, watch out for the cables. They're everywhere. Speak of your feet, Grandad.
No disrespect, please, lad. I'm old enough to be your father, and what's more, I probably am.
I sat in the gallery and watched Mithin. The studio had taken him to their hearts as a genuine original. Studio crews see a lot of the fake kind. It was a good start. The costume girl had got him a double-breasted jacket and a dark bow tie. A makeup had put plenty of powder on his hair to make it look as full and heavy as possible. He looked good. I wasn't prepared for how good he was.
All right, everybody. Now let's have some hush. We're going now. Stand by, camera two. Stay close on him, one. Cue caption. Cue music. Hold loving cup, camera one. Cue first questioner.
Mr. Right. You like lads?
I like men.
Well, you'll marry one of them, love. Anyone will do. It won't matter a big lot who it is.
I don't understand.
You, lass, they're all men. And because it doesn't matter too much who you have, you might as well pick one with a bit of brass while you're about it.
Good luck, yellow.
I'm a married man, and I'm in love with a young girl. I don't know if I should leave my wife or not.
Do you really love this girl?
Well, of course I love her.
Does she love you?
She says she does.
The reason that I ask is there are a lot of young girls around who seem to think it's rather fun to snare unsuspecting married men, if you know what I mean.
She's not like that, miss.
Oh, none of them ever are, dear, but they're always stealing other people's husbands, aren't they?
Well, I'd like to hear what Mr. Mithin thinks.
I can't add a lot to that. Look, how much are you earning in your job, lad?
I'm on 12 quid a week.
Well, if I were you, I'd forget about this young lass. You'll never keep two homes going on that, will you?
Very good. Now, cue next question, Dominic. Go on, cue her. Cue her.
I'm going out with a boy, and he's a different religion from me. He wants me to change to his. What should I do?
Cut to camera one.
Do you attend church yourself?
Cut to
every
two.
Sunday.
Cut to one. Pull out. Camera one.
Well,
back. Slowly, slowly.
Yes, I
don't. Now, keep them both in shot.
Big lot which church you're in. You see, you've got religion in common, you and this lad. What's his name?
Cut to two.
Terence.
Back to
Terence.
One.
Terence. Not a Yorkshire name. Now then, lass, if you hadn't gone to church at all, you didn't believe in it or something like that, I'd have said no. But when you do, well, I'd say wed the lad. I'm chapel myself, but I don't think there's a big lot of difference at the last count.
Cut to camera two. Hold down. Stand by the say, lad. The say on Mithin two. I want a close-up. That's right. In you go. In. That's lovely. Now hold it there. Hold it. Cue in music.
Phew. What do you think, Dottie?
Terrific. Oh, that bit about the last count. Pure television. How the devil did he do it?
I couldn't tell him. I didn't know myself. Was it just observation, based on experience, out on the fairgrounds and markets? Or was it something less intelligent and a lot more profound. A natural gift for seeing a person's inner character, plain, hitched to a deep knowledge of the human condition. Was it a trick or a gift or a bit of both? Looking at him sitting there, absolutely at home in front of 15 million people, I could find no ready answer. I never was to find one. Well, not really.
I never know if these press parties are worth it, Rick. Everybody drinking everything in sight and getting all the facts wrong.
Yes, well, I told them that you're going to give them a few words yourself.
Yes, well, I always think these fellas need a proper briefing, army style.
Exactly.
Can't see why people don't do it, you know. Oh, by the way, did I tell you? The switchboard jammed. They're refusing any more calls. I mean, Miffin is a sensation, there's no doubt about it.
Success then, got
you? Ah, well, never doubted it from the first, dear boy. Never doubted it from the first. Oh, excuse me. I feel a scotch coming on.
Yes, of course. Oh, hello, Mariner.
He's loving it, isn't he?
Who? Miffin? Yes, he is, as far as I can see. Oh, there's a hell of a crush from here. Who are all these people?
A lot of extra press rang up. Some of them are holding editions for the story. Well,
God knows what Miffin's telling them. Well, I better get over there and see.
Hello, darling. Oh, thank you.
Thank you, darling.
What a lovely feeling, all this success, hooray.
Yes, well...
Will there be any more shows, do you think?
No, at least a dozen, I'd say, by the start with.
Wonderful, isn't it? Mona, is it? Moana, actually. Excuse me. Funny little thing, isn't she, that one?
Lois, I must talk to Miffin. Darling, you are wonderful.
Oh, thanks to you, darling. Moana. Interesting.
Lois, darling.
Oh,
hello,
darling. I didn't see you
there.
Have some more champagne.
More champagne, but of course I'll have
more champagne. Well, that's it, gentlemen. We know the public like us already. We've got 100 telephone calls to say so, and we just hope that the press follow public opinion. Or, rather, agree with it.
Hamish Henry, Daily News to Godbroke.
Oh, Godbroke. Actually, no, sir.
Well, Godbroke, then. Is this show just a bit of fun, or are we supposed to take it seriously, or what?
Well, we hope both. We very much hope both, Mr. Henry.
Hamish.
Hamish. Yes, we don't make claims to give people real advice on how to conduct their lives. I mean, this is, after all, an entertainment, isn't it? I'm sure Miffin would agree.
Hamish,
is it? Aye, that's right.
Well, Hamish, lad, I want you to know that this is a genuine article. There are no tricks, nothing prepared in advance. It's all exactly as I've been doing it on Eccleton Moor for 25 years.
Sir Godbrook's explained all that, but he's been giving us to understand that this is a very lightweight programme, a sort of stunt. Would you say that was so?
This is a serious programme. For me, anyway. Do you know anything more serious than happiness?
Gentlemen, is that the time? You'll never get those editions. You know where the telephones are.
I'd like to hang on a minute for a word with Mr. Miffin.
Oh, certainly, certainly.
Well, Miffin, you've got your high place anyway. All that remains now is to do the good.
That's all, Rick, but the biggest job's over. As you say, I'm here. Hamish?
Hi.
Now, what can I tell you about myself? How I started, eh? Well, when I was 14, this fella comes up to me.
Rick, I'm ordering taxis. Do you want one? And if so, where to?
Leave it here, Mariana, will you?
Are you coming back to my
place? Mariana, I don't know. Yet.
Oh, all right. Please yourself.
Am I interrupting something, darling?
Yes, you are. Excuse me.
Oh. You know, I rather thought you might be the one, Rick.
To really...
Can we have a picture, Mr. Wilson?
Oh.
A nice family one, you and Mr.
Oh.
Oh, all right.
She's dreadful.
Yes, let's just circulate and talk to the Fourth Estate. Bloody rich.
Well, of course, darling. No need to be so chirpy about it.
Hello, darling.
I thought you were frankly
interested.
Well, that's very kind of you. No.
Miffin was out of the studios. He stood at the window of his new flat in his new silk dressing gown and gazed down over the traffic of Park Lane and the brownish grass of the park. Hamish Henry sat in one of the Sheraton copies that went to the flat and took down Miffin's words.
Get a job you like, John Thomas of Darlington, because if you don't, you'll never be any good to yourself and less to everybody else. Least of all, the woman you love.
The woman you love. Oh, hi, Rick.
Hamish.
That enough for you, Hamish?
Just about. You want to see the copy before it goes into the paper?
I'll leave it to you, lad.
Oh, I'll fall it in then. Best of luck with the show tonight.
Thanks, Hamish.
Hey, Rick, you wouldn't believe the mail we're getting about Miss Collum. It's more popular than the Royal Serial. They've upped his money twice, and now he's asking for more.
You can pay it, lad. And I'm not asking. My agent is. Bye-bye, Hamish.
Bye.
Rick,
It were a good job you fixed me up with an agent. I'd be lost.
Yeah. Well, he's fixed you up anyway. Lovely flat.
He says I've got to have all this. He reckons it's necessary. He says I claim tax on it anyway. It didn't really cost me a bob. But if it didn't cost him me money, who is it costing?
Now, don't start worrying about money. It's the least of them.
You should see the check they sent me for doing a day's work at the film studio last week. One day. I know men who work hard for 2 months for less.
You'll get used to it.
Agent wants me to have a chauffeur for the Rolls. You know I've got the Rolls. What would they make of that in Eccleton, eh? I don't know, Rick. I'm used to driving my old van around.
Mifflin, you have to face it. You're more than a man now. You're a celebrity.
You're never more than a man, Rick.
Now, look, I hate to hurry you, but time's getting on.
Rick, it's bigger than I thought. I knew it was big, but I didn't know it was this big.
The monster's the biggest thing since the printing press.
Sometimes it seems like a bright new toy for a lot of kids. Now, anything good tonight?
Oh, the usual sort of thing.
I'd like you to broaden the scope of the questions a bit, Rick.
Huh?
You're playing very safe. I don't blame you, but I'd like a few more serious ones.
You mean more outspoken?
I mean a bit more like life.
Your answers are about all the life that this program will stand.
I'll do what I can.
The time you told that married man to leave his wife, you nearly got us all sacked.
As we walked into the studios, the doorman saluted Miffin.
Evening, Mr. Miffin.
Joe, how are you? How's the missus?
I'd been working around the studios for years, but the doorman had never saluted me, and I certainly didn't know his name. It never ceased to surprise, the way people recognized Miffin in the street or in shops. He was still at the talking-to-everybody stage. The newspaper articles and the 1,000 unhappy letters every day, and the highest viewing figures any panel game had ever had. This was a new kind of success. It belonged exclusively to the TV era, to the 50s.
Hello, Rick.
Ah, Lorena. I never seem to see you nowadays. Unless it's in this place.
And whose fault is that?
Nobody's.
I beg to differ.
You know damn well there's nothing I can do. Not just now.
You're a fool where she's concerned, Rick. I'm not sure you aren't a fool where any woman's concerned.
Well, that's nasty.
You love us all. That's the trouble.
What's the time?
We have exactly 36 minutes.
Good. Then we can talk.
Rick, I think perhaps we ought to pack it in.
Oh, now he's being temperamental.
I'm sorry, I'm just worried about it.
We could meet after the show. I mean, go somewhere quiet.
We couldn't, really. Not since you've given your word and she knows it's me.
Look, Moana, my sweet. Lois simply doesn't want divorce news when she's slapping the public eye like this.
Fine.
Look, she asked me to leave things because she doesn't want anything to prejudice a theatre offer she's expecting.
You mean she doesn't want to look a fool? She's telling the world what a successful marriage she has every week. I don't notice her stopping that either.
No. Well, I'll talk to her. Lois?
Hello, Rick, darling. Can we have a nice show tonight?
We might have, if you try not to mention how happy your married life is more than, say, a half a dozen times.
Darling, it's a good gimmick to lose, but I'll try.
Please do. Lois, I'm going to ask you to let me have that divorce. Now.
But, darling, we agreed to leave it over until the programme was underway.
It's underway now. It couldn't be more so.
I have that big theatre part in the air.
Well, it couldn't spoil that.
I think it could. After all, I'd look pretty silly. It's an important part, an intelligent part. I don't think they want a fool, and I'd look one, wouldn't I? I have been laying it on a bit thick about us, after all.
Well, what is this offer you have, exactly?
It's a new play by that Frenchman, Henri, you know.
Hmm. They audition you?
No audition. I'm out of that league now, Rick.
I'm glad.
Oh, because of this. Your monster.
Now, when will you know about the part?
They said a week or two, but you know how it is.
Well, let me hear, Lois, as soon as you can.
Thank you, darling.
Oh, by the way, I have a cottage now. Borrowed. Out of town a bit.
Oh. I see. Well, I'd better get down to the studio, darling.
Yes. Good luck, Lois.
Thank you, darling. You too.
2 minutes, studio.
Did you see her?
She asked me to be patient. Lois is thinking about her career, but she has written me off, believe me.
She may not want you, but she doesn't want to give you up either.
Rich, look, what about these?
Dominic, what about what?
It's the order of the questions. I don't like this last question very much.
Well, who is it?
A man whose wife left him because he couldn't stop chasing girls.
Well, why not? He seemed all right at the weigh-in.
I don't know. I still don't like him.
Well, it'll be all right, Dominic.
Rick, I don't think it will. It's risky. I don't know what it is. I have a hunch. I've been talking to him. I wouldn't be surprised if the man's a nut.
I picked those people from 100 possibles. But I said it would be all right, Dominic.
And 1 minute, studio. Quiet in the studio. 1 minute.
All right, everybody. Settle down. Ready, floor? Right. Right. Cue captions. Cue music. Camera one, stay on loving cups. Go to two. Close up, Biffin. Right. Pull back, camera two. Long shot, three. Cue questioner.
It was a show like any other. That is to say, a great, big, wonderful success. I sat in the gallery and listened to it happen. And then... suddenly.
You say you don't love your wife, Mr. Mulberry.
Oh, but I do. I do.
But you say you like other girls.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, I do.
Well, then you'll have to choose between them, won't you?
Get ready to take this out.
It's not about choosing between them. I can't help it.
Look.
I mean, the younger they are, the worse it is. I want you to tell me what to do. Sometimes I think I'm going mad.
Take it out. Cue music. Roll end captions. That's how continuity we're finished. Tell them. What the devil was that all about? Now, does anybody know?
Can you take us? Thank you. Rick, continue to help.
Right.
Yes? Oh, hello. Oh, yes. Rick, telephone for you. It's Goddy.
Hello.
Papers will be full of it.
Yes,
tomorrow.
Yes, I know that, Goddy.
I warned you to be careful. Didn't you see that particular question? There was some sort of a head case.
No, I didn't. It was as big a shock for me as it was for you.
Yeah, it's been a bigger shock for the viewers if it had gone on a bit. Lord knows what he was going to say.
Yes, well, I'll try to watch it in future, Goddy.
You'll have to watch it in future, Rick. Goodbye.
What did he say?
Well, nothing I didn't know.
Seems Dominic was right. He's very intelligent, Rick.
Yeah, the place is bursting with that commodity.
He's awfully worried about Suez, you know.
Oh, and not about Hungary.
Well, he hasn't said anything about Hungary.
No, he wouldn't.
You know what that idiot did.
Who did what, Dominic?
That lunatic, that Mulberry merchant, the one I warned you about.
What about him?
He rushed out of the studio and chucked himself under a bus.
Oh,
right in front of the studios, just now.
Is he all right?
No, no, no. The driver put his brakes on slap and just knocked him over. He's cut a bit from the fall, that's all.
What have you done?
I told everybody that he'd been running for a tube to get back home. Then I sent for the ambulance.
But have the newspapers got any of it?
No, no, I'm sure not.
Good work, Dom. I'm sorry about this. It's all my fault. All of it.
The Prime Minister announced in the Commons tonight that the government has ordered a ceasefire in Egypt at midnight, subject to certain assurances by the United...
Couldn't help it, Rick. I never can. I had to tell him what I thought. You cut it off, but he heard it.
Well, what did you tell him, for Pete's sake?
That he'd be better off locked up or dead than living as he is.
Good.
Oh,
you shouldn't have said that.
Rick, I don't want any more questions like that.
No?
Or if I get them, I want to be prepared. I want to know what's coming.
No, you don't mean that. You always
I want
say...
to know the questions in advance, Rick.
You are serious, are you?
Not having the good work ruined. I owe the audience something. I don't want it to go wrong now.
Look, Mifflin, look, sleep on it. You'll change your mind. I know that you'll change your mind.
But Mifflin didn't change his mind. From the producer's gallery, on the next show, he looked the same. But I knew he wasn't the same.
Cue questionnaire. Keeping close, camera one.
I'm 45, divorced, unhappily married once. Should I do it again?
Well, have you anybody in mind? Any particular man?
Come on.
Actually.
Do you have a job?
A business. I own a dress shop.
And you're intended? What's his job?
Oh, come on.
Yes, he works in a factory, actually.
That's a skilled man?
No. A labourer.
Has he got any money of his own?
No.
But he said you have a business. Good business?
Yes.
What's his age?
36.
He's 10 years younger than you.
Yes, he is.
Well, if I were you, I'd think about it again.
Miffin.
Think about it again? What the hell do you mean by that? What we all mean, that you should be careful not to throw away your obvious charms on somebody who doesn't appreciate them, like your previous husband. Oh, he appreciated them all right. The trouble was, he appreciated everybody else's.
Look what's happened to him. No, I mean, that was awful.
The monster's eating him up, Rick.
The pub was crowded. It always was on program nights. For besides the usual tea on tell, there were all the people from Take My Advice, the questioners, the press, Dominic, and, of course, Moana and myself.
Do you think they mind us sitting on our own?
Well, they should be used to it by now. But if you want to, you can write something in your book, and they'll all think it's business.
I think they all know, anyway.
What makes you think that?
They've got eyes, Rick.
But nobody has said anything.
No.
Well, then they don't know anything.
Dom does, of course.
Dominic? You told him? That idiot.
I had to. He asked me to marry him again.
What? Again?
It's all right. I said no. I always do.
So I should hope. Now, Anna, did you sense anything unusual in tonight's show?
No. Should I have?
I mean, nothing at all.
Well, you seemed edgy. I've never known you so nervous.
Yeah, but nothing else. I mean, about the show itself.
It seemed lightweight. That's all. Frothier than usual.
Well, expand on that a little.
Well, the first shows had a smell of life about them. The problems were real. Tonight's weren't. Or anyway, the answers weren't.
But I mean, you didn't think that it was different?
Not really. Any special reason why I should?
Well, no. Not really.
Rick, Mummy's asking questions.
Yeah, is she?
He doesn't like her.
Isn't it?
All right. I won't bore you. Anyway, I'm off. I said I'd go to a party with Dominic.
Well, I can't very well. I must talk to the cast a bit.
Yeah, sure. See you tomorrow, Rick.
No, look, I've had enough tonight.
You should stay to hold Miffin's hand, Rick. Those press people around.
Oh, no, look, to hell with it for once. You go out to the car and wait for me. I'll be out in a few minutes.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You're going to have to do the deciding, Rick. Women can't. The world's stacked against them.
Lois and I are divorcing. There's a hold-up, that's all.
Are you? Let's see. Rick. Rick, how was the show tonight?
Not good.
Was it me?
Not particularly you.
See those letters I get, Rick? All those letters.
I said it wasn't you, Miff.
Those people need my help. I can't let them down.
No, you said.
I know it wasn't very good. I didn't sleep last night for thinking about it. Well, that business of giving the questions to me in note form, it's no good. I'm sure it must have looked obvious, me looking down at prepared answers.
Well, I don't think it did. But anyway, you want it done.
I feel a fraud, Rick. If that Mulberry bloke hadn't got on the show, it would have been all right.
Look, something like that would have to happen sooner or later. I mean, you are divine. Nobody cares if you make a mistake or two.
You're wrong, Rick. You're very wrong. But I was bad tonight, wasn't I?
You weren't bad. You simply weren't yourself. You talked platitude, not prepared platitude. I mean, there was no bite, no edge. I mean, nothing. Well, I'm sorry. You asked.
I'm sorry you think that, Rick. Well, I see more press have arrived. I'd best go and talk to them. Are you coming?
No, actually, I'm going early. Now, can you cope?
Yes. Of course I can. I ought to be able to by now.
Hello, Rick. All alone, darling?
What is it, Liz?
Darling, I want you to drink a toast to my career on Broadway. I've just had the contract to star in the new play, so I'll be leaving when this series ends. You'll be able to get a replacement easily enough. You're very good at replacements, aren't you, Rick, darling?
Rick, I can't believe it. She's really given up.
Yes, it looks like it.
I never thought she would.
Well, she has this play coming on in New York.
Hey.
What?
The light's on in the cottage.
Well, how can that be?
It is.
But just a moment. I'd better go first.
Is
It's all right, Mr. Wilton. It's me, Jane Drake, Moana's mother.
Mummy, how did you get here?
Well, Dominic told me where it was. Your neighbour let me in. He has the key. Dominic told me to ask.
Dominic will go far.
I wouldn't have done this, Mr. Wilton, but I thought we should have a talk.
Yes. Yes, of course. Please sit down, Mrs. Drake.
Thank you. Moana, I wonder if you could make one or two sandwiches. I'm starving, and I expect you know where everything is.
But, Mums, all right.
I'm having a drink. Would you like one?
No, thank you. Mr. Wilton.
Hmm.
I'm not going to ask you whether you love Moana, because I'm quite sure you do. So I can assume that you only want what's best for her, in the long run, as distinct from the short run.
Yes.
Then I think you should stop seeing her.
What would you say if I said that I'd be getting a divorce?
I think I will have that drink now, Mr. Wilton.
Mm-hmm.
A gin and tonic, please. Thank you. How old are you, Mr. Wilton?
38.
Well, I'm 44 myself, so we can talk frankly to one another at least.
Yes, of course.
You have been married once, and that has failed, you say. That's hardly a recommendation, is it?
Agreed.
You loved your wife when you married her?
Well, of course I did.
Look, please don't think I'm being difficult, but it's possible you are rather a fickle person, emotionally.
That was 6 years ago.
Yes.
People do fall in and out of love, Mrs. Drake, through no fault of their own.
Not people who marry my daughter. Not if I can help it.
Well, then there's no point in talking anymore.
Look, you do understand, don't you, how difficult it all is for me? I mean, the whole responsibility for Moana's happiness is on my shoulders. I wish it wasn't. I wish Tom was here to do it. I wish... You know I lost him in the war.
Yes, I'm sorry.
I want you to understand why I set my face against this business of yourself and Moana, Mr. Wilton. First, age. It isn't an insurmountable barrier, I know, but there is a wide gap, you'll agree. Look, then there's the business of the divorce. It isn't the best of ways to start off a marriage.
No.
Your present wife has her career, hasn't she?
Yes.
Moana is a very nice girl, Mr. Wilton, despite her recent deplorable behavior, but she isn't a talented person. Her home would mean everything to her. Have you ever had a normal home, Mr. Wilton?
Not in the sense you mean, no.
Would you be willing to give Moana one? I mean, a house, possibly in the suburbs somewhere. A garden, children.
She may not want that.
Well, she would sooner or later. I think you know that.
Yes, I suppose so.
Can you see yourself in those circumstances?
I don't know.
Oh, please be honest with yourself, Mr. Wilton. You're almost 40 years old. Can you start again, quite like that?
Well, I have a flat in town.
Oh, I know that. It wouldn't do for Moana, Mr. Wilton. Or would you expect her to work?
Not for a while, certainly, if she wanted to.
Oh, I don't know what Tom would have said to that.
Well, Moana's a grown person, Mrs. Drake. She knows her mind.
Does she? I am aware she's 22, and she could marry you as soon as your divorce comes through, and I couldn't do a thing about it. The positive action has to come from you, Mr. Wilson.
You seem very certain that it wouldn't work out.
For this to work, Moana would have to be an exceptional person. And she isn't, is she?
I still think that we could make a go of it.
In that case, I will still have to ask you to give Moana time. At least until your divorce is through.
Yes, well, that seems reasonable.
You'll stop seeing her socially?
Yes. All right.
Will you tell her yourself?
No. No, you do it. I'll go now. I'll talk to her tomorrow.
As you wish.
I drove slowly into town and booked in at my club. Next morning, I picked up the first paper to hand. It ran an article by Hamish Hendry halfway down page one. The caption was stark and simple. Miffin denies show a fake.
It's Rick Wilton here. Is that Hamish Henry?
Oh, hello, Rick. Where have you been? I tried to get you at your cottage and at your office. Where the hell have you been?
Now, what's all this about Miffin, hmm?
What about him?
Well, it wasn't very nice of you, was it, hmm?
What the devil are you talking
about? No, an attack like this. I mean, surely, it isn't in anybody's interest.
It wasn't my idea, Rick. One of the other boys spotted Miffin looking at notes during the show and asked him point blank at the press party afterwards. You weren't there, were you? Because Miffin admitted he had an idea of some of the questions in advance.
Go on.
Well, I got in first. Best I could do, Rick.
Look, who cares whether he knew what was never meant to be taken seriously? I mean, why all the fuss?
Have you? Then read them.
Until that moment, I don't think... All we had put on was a parlour game, the sort of bizarre. And here we were, making news and being taken very seriously indeed. And the words fraud and deceit and public responsibility were being used by leader writers and columnists about us. Now, that was how people felt about television in the 50s. I got a taxi back to the studios fast.
Rick, the chief wants us to do our... You get some sort of statement hammered up.
What I will say will be the truth.
The truth story we have, we better stick to it. Rick, do you think we made a mistake bringing him here?
What the hell do I know, Cotty?
Well, I always had my reservations, dear boy. Can't deny I didn't. I mean, this could be quite serious for you, Rick.
Oh.
Oh. Hello, Marana.
Well, then, I'll leave you to it for now.
It's all right. I've seen the papers. What do you want me to do?
You talked to your mother, did you?
If you want to know, after last night's exhibition, I'm not sure I want even to see you again, Rick. Never mind, talk to you.
I don't know what Miffin was thinking about, to talk the way he did to those reporters. I just don't know.
Are you wondering aloud or dictating?
Neither. Look, Marion, I'm sorry about last night. I didn't know any other way to handle it.
I don't like people who run away.
Was it bad?
We had a big row until I saw it was no good.
What was no good?
Ask everything. You agreed with her, didn't you? You and Mummy swore a pact and you didn't even ask me about
it. What could I do? I mean, she had the whip hand. She still has.
I didn't think you'd let me down, Rick.
I'm sorry, Marana, but I haven't let you down. Well, I mean, I won't.
Please, Rick, stop. Don't let's talk about it. It's no good. It's over. All you really care about is this place, this monster.
Oh, nonsense.
It is. I'm taking a job abroad, Paris.
What?
I mean it.
Oh, no.
Rick, it's over.
Moana, let's talk about it later now, please.
It's no use. Look, about Miffin, I tried his flat. He hadn't been there all night.
Well, then where?
Hello, Rick, darling. Excuse me. I'm next door if you want me, Mr. Wilton. Mrs. Wilton.
Hmm. Is that off, Rick? You and her?
Yes, it looks like it.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, not now, Lois, please.
You're looking for him, I suppose, aren't you?
What, Miffin? Have you seen him?
I've seen the paper, so has he.
Where is he now? I mean, do you know?
I put him up on my divan last night. Our divan. Anyway, he was very upset, the poor darling. After he told those reporters the truth.
What the devil made him do it?
I don't really know. He just felt he had to when they asked him outright like that, I suppose. He just couldn't tell them a lie about that, he said, about his work. He'd have been ashamed. They didn't really listen to anything after that. You know how they are, all rushing for phones. It was terrible.
Yes, I know. Every morning paper has the story.
Well, if you'd been there, it could have been different, darling. Well, anyway, I took him to the flat. When he read the papers this morning, he just got up and went. I don't know what he expected.
Well, what did he talk about last night?
Oh, a lot of it was about his gift. I think he thought he'd lost it. That's the trouble when you're not a professional, isn't it? He's not really a pro, is he?
No, he isn't. He certainly isn't.
Not good for you, all this, is it, Rick?
Oh, I expect I'll survive somehow. Rick Wilson.
Hello, Rick Lutton.
Oh. Miss, where the devil have you been?
I've been thinking.
Now, look, where are you now?
Pub.
Oh, well, stay there. I'll be with you in 10 minutes.
It's no use.
Look, I'm on my way. Lois, have you got a car here? Miss, I'm glad you telephoned. Really glad.
Those newspapers are calling me a fraud, Rick.
Yes, I know. Two large scotches, please.
I'll have to get away for a moment.
Sure.
Back to reality.
Look, it's all been a bit of a misunderstanding, but we can fix
it. Well, say I haven't enjoyed some of it, because I have. But I have to get out of all this.
Where would you go?
Back to the old job, what else?
Oh, no, you can't go back to the fairgrounds. I mean, how can you?
Why not?
You're but a national figure now. It would be ridiculous.
You're right. I can't go back. But not for that reason. I couldn't go back because I couldn't do it anymore. I've lost it. It's gone, Rick. The gift. It's gone. It's soon as I began to get the questions in advance. Now, that's why I told the press people the truth. It was a sort of confessional, Rick. I'd done wrong. I had to talk about it.
I'm as much to blame as anybody.
Rick, I want you to tell me what to do.
Look, Miff, I believe in your talent. Now, you know that. What I want you to do is to come back with me and help me to talk them in to letting us do another show.
It's as bad as that.
Well, they'll need convincing. But I know that we can do it. Then everything will be back to normal. Of course, we'll have to make the whole thing a bit more of a froth. For the first few weeks, anyway. We'll have to convince the public, too, that we aren't to be taken too seriously.
But that's what we always wanted, to be taken seriously.
And that's what you always wanted. Anyway, we'll have to warm that old talent back nice and easily, won't we? Hmm?
Rick, I think you honestly believe that.
Miff, of course I do.
Hello there, Miff. Hello, Rick.
What are you doing here, Hamish?
I rang him on my way over. Now, look, Hamish, you are getting an exclusive. You can phone it in right away, and it'll get into the last edition.
Might do.
Rick wants me to go on with it. Now, what do you think?
I'll print whatever you tell me, Miff. That's my job. Oh, by the way, the editor's gone cold on that column of yours. We won't be doing any more. Sorry.
Now, take this down, Hamish. Okay. Now, write it up in any way you want. Are you ready?
Right.
Fine. Now, when the press asked Miffin about those questions being given to him in advance, he didn't try to hide anything because there was nothing to hide. He's a truthful man, too truthful on most occasions, and he told them no more and no less than the truth on that occasion.
Miffin couldn't help telling the truth because telling the truth is his business sort of thing.
That's right, yes.
It's not that it's so terrible, Miffin, having the questions in advance, Rick. That's not so bad. It's him always insisting he didn't, that he did the show just as he'd been doing it on the fairgrounds all those years, and he wasn't, was he?
Oh, don't try to meet that point. Just say what I've told you. And add that you've seen Miffin. He is much recovered from his indisposition.
What indisposition?
Well, say he was suffering from strain, and he hopes to be doing his show, as usual, next week. Where's he gone, for God's sake?
I don't know. He was here a minute ago. Let me get that down. Rick? Hey, Rick!
Is he in his car?
Yes. Just got into it and drove off that way.
Well, let me drive.
All right.
Miffin's Rolls was doing a steady 80 out on the old A1, heading north. I stayed with him as best I could. I hooted my horn desperately at first, but after a while I gave that up.
Where's he going?
Home, Lois. He's going home. I tried to stay with him, and Lois's car was fast, but I lost him for a full hour. Then, somewhere in Yorkshire, we climbed a long hill very slowly, and I saw him again. I was sure it was him. I saw the familiar white hair caught in my spotlight as he reached the brow of the hill. I switched the spotlight on and off, but if he noticed, he didn't look back. He disappeared over the hill. I climbed it slowly. It was very steep. I heard nothing of the crash, but I saw most of it. The Rolls swerved to miss the roadworks, and it did miss them, by a miracle. But it went straight through the bridge parapet, quite neatly, like a slow-motion film. One moment it was there. The next, it wasn't.
It's going to take hours to get him out of there, sir.
Yes, I suppose so.
There's nothing you can do. We know where to reach you.
Yes, sir. All right, Inspector.
A big loss, sir.
Yes.
I always watched him. I liked him. He was real, you know.
Yes.
It's queer it happening this way, sir.
Which way?
Well, when you consider what they're building here, just this side of the bridge. The reason for the roadworks, like.
But what is it, anyway?
A television transmitter tower.
Come on, Rick. I'll drive.
Where? Lois, where do we go?
Home. Where else is there?
Leslie Sands played Miffin and Dinsdale Landon, Rick, in The One-Eyed Monster, adapted from his novel by Alan Parr. Jill Balkan played Lois, Joanna Wake, Moana, Gerard Green, Sir Godbrook, Michael Shannon, Hamish, Steve Hodson, Dominic, and Norma Ronald, Mrs. Drake. The fairground crowd and television contestants were played by Ross, Maddie Head, Steve Hodson, David Graham, Michael Ian Cotterill.